Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, May 3rd. Coming up, as wool prices have dropped, many sheep producers feel like this fiber is a burden rather than a bonus. But some are pivoting and finding new options. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. About 100 people joined a labor rally at the Illini Union in Urbana yesterday. They were supporting four unions currently in contract negotiations with the University of Illinois. The contracts expire in August. Teresa Dobbs is a member of the Non-Tenure Faculty Coalition. She says the event is new because the timelines for the unions are rarely so in sync.
It's pretty unusual for all of our unions to get together like this because we have such different roles within the university.
The unions represent non-tenured faculty, building and service workers, technicians, and clerical workers. Dobbs says the workers' march chanted, "This is what democracy looks like," in tribute to the pro-Palestine encampment that has been on campus since Sunday. They are pushing the university to divest from weapons manufacturers that support Israel. It's an annual Springfield ceremony no one looks forward to, memorializing police officers who died in the line of duty. Alex Degman reports.
The names of Chicago officers Ariana Preston and Andres Vasquez Lasso have been added to the Illinois Police Officers Memorial outside the state capitol. Preston and Vasquez Lasso were killed last year. State Comptroller Susana Mendoza, whose brother is a CPD officer, fought tears as she addressed their families. She said, "Society needs to change.
We can't continually dehumanize our heroes and expect them not to be dehumanized by the worst of society. It is wrong to show more concern for the cop killer than for the cop."
Chicago officer Luis Huesca, who was killed last month, will be honored at next year's ceremony. I'm Alex Degman.
Illinois voters could be asked about in vitro fertilization and a millionaire's tax on this November's ballot. Both the House and Senate approved a measure that would ask voters whether millionaires should be taxed more to aid property tax relief, whether insurance plans should cover in vitro fertilization treatments, and if candidates for public office should face civil penalties for interfering with election workers. They aren't binding, but Democratic State Representative Jay Hoffman, the sponsor, says they'll be used to gauge public support.
If indeed it were to substantially pass, which I think it could, then we would have to take it up here in the General Assembly to pass the particulars and to ferret out the substantive language.
House Republicans voted present to protest how quickly the bill got pushed through, and it did not get unanimous Democratic support in the Senate. Between 2018 and 2022, Tyson Foods released more than 370 million pounds of pollution. That's according to a report released this week by the Union of Concerned Scientists, which looks at public data from Tyson's larger meat processing facilities. Kelly McGinnis is the executive director of the Mississippi River Network.
This report shows an astonishing impact on water quality by one company, and that is only in regards to the actual meat processing.
McGinnis says it doesn't count for the large animal feeding operations often right next to meatpacking plants or the smaller facilities that don't have to report pollution data to the EPA. A Tyson spokesperson says the company works to run its operations responsibly and mitigate environmental impacts. Still to come, as wool prices have dropped, many sheep producers feel like this fiber is a burden rather than a bonus. But some are pivoting and finding new options. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, our Friday news recap. We'll talk about pro-Palestinian demonstrations on college campuses across Illinois and how administrators are responding. Plus, pushback against Governor J.B. Pritzker's move to get rid of the grocery tax here. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Sheep producers in the Midwest say wool prices have been dismal for decades, but in recent years, they've fallen to new lows. That's left producers sometimes dumping wool rather than selling it for cents on the dollar. But as Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer reports, now some producers are pivoting.
It's early spring, and sheep shearers have come to the Corey family farm. With smooth, clean strokes, a shearer cuts through several inches of wool on a ewe. In just minutes, a fleece drops to the floor, and the ewe returns to the flock with her new buzz cut. On this day, more than 100 sheep at this central Iowa farm were sheared, each losing about 8 pounds of wool. But it won't bring in much money.
We'll get just a few cents a pound, really.
That's Mary Corey, regardless of what they get paid for the wool. She says shearing is essential for the sheep's health and for lambs to more easily nurse in the spring. Tom Corey, who started raising sheep in the early 1960s, remembers when wool was an asset.
I was able to get enough money from that wool that I could pay for their winter feed. Today, I can't even pay for half the shearing.
The Coreys, like most producers in the Midwest, raise sheep primarily for meat, not the wool. But as wool prices have dropped, the costs of shearing and transporting the wool are biting into producers' profits. Jalen Whaley is a sheep field specialist with South Dakota State University Extension.
We're in a really, I think, volatile place right now, we feel like, because our numbers are dropping and we're having a hard time keeping people in the industry.
She says the drop in wool prices is connected with global forces far from farms in Middle America. Demand from China, the largest importer of American wool, fell sharply in 2019 in the midst of a trade war with the U.S. Then COVID hit, shutting down wool processors and disrupting supply chains. But sheep kept growing wool, leading to a global oversupply and even lower prices. Whaley says there are options for sheep producers.
We just have to be willing to get innovative and make those changes that are profitable.
That includes finding new uses for wool. Wendy Johnson runs Counting Sheep Sleep Company from her northern Iowa farm. She shows off a creamy white and lightly speckled batting that comes from her sheep.
This is what fills the pillows. And it's just such a nice fiber.
Johnson sends her wool to a mill in Minnesota where it's cleaned and turned into this batting to fill pillows, comforters, eye masks that she then sells.
Here we raise this incredible animal on grass and sunshine and rain and soil alone. And they just keep growing this completely renewable fiber that has all these attributes.
Wool is thermoregulating, meaning it can keep people comfortable in hot and cold conditions. It's also biodegradable and can act as a natural fertilizer. In south central Nebraska, Megan Landis Murphy turns coarse wool from her sheep and other producers into pellets for the garden.
I think wool pellets are a great outlet for this underutilized wool. And then it's also beneficial for plant enthusiasts and gardeners alike.
The pellets add nitrogen to the soil and can absorb and release excess moisture. Landis Murphy says she's glad to help producers find a new use for their wool through her Kestrel Ridge Pellet Company.
I think it's really exciting for sheep producers because I've heard of them just like burying or burning their wool just to get rid of it because they feel like that's the only option they have.
But some producers are moving toward a sheep that doesn't produce much wool. Called hair sheep, they naturally shed in the spring, so no shearing is needed. Back on Tom and Mary Corey's farm, they've bought a small flock for one of their sons to raise.
To incorporate a hair breed of sheep that would not require the shearing, and there are also other potential benefits of just being a hardier type sheep.
But Ron Kilstrom, one of their shearers and a sheep producer himself, isn't so sure about wool-less sheep.
It disturbs me a little bit. Sheep should have wool on them, period.
After all, shearing sheep is his business. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly cloudy with a high of 76 degrees. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Alex Degman, Eric Schmid, and Rachel Kramer. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.